When you really think about it, the stories of the resurrection appearances of Jesus are actually pretty creeptacular. I mean, this is really the stuff of Halloween as much as it is Easter. A handful of stories about visits from the undead in which miraculous and strange, even scary, things happen. From appearing to the women at the tomb, to walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. From entering a locked room and breathing the Holy Spirit on those gathered there, to appearing for an early morning barbecue breakfast on the beach. I can only imagine how surreal and yet transforming each of these visits must have been for those who knew Jesus while he was alive, let alone for those of us imagining them now. I wonder why it is that we have this handful of stories, why it is that Jesus appeared to his friends at all after his death. After all, on more than one occasion, he had told them that he would be handed over to the authorities and be killed, and on the third day rise again. They should have just believed him, right? But he did appear to them. Perhaps it was because he knew the manner of his death, the stigma of crucifixion, would be a stumbling block as they grieved his loss and tried to reconcile the power they had witnessed in him time and again to the powerlessness of such an ignoble death. Maybe it was because he had a few more lessons he wanted to reinforce before truly saying goodbye. Or it even could have been he knew that seeing him again would bolster them and give them the power that they needed to go and continue the work he had set out for them from the very first time he called him to himself and said, "Follow me." It's probably a little of each of these reasons, and something more, too. Because if there's one thing that Jesus learned from being human himself, I think it's that as humans, at a basic and profound level, we are incredibly insecure and full of self-doubt. There is simply no way that we could ever truly be forgiven for all the mistakes we have made. The little ones that happen every day, and the enormous ones that mark the chapters of our lives. There is simply no way that anyone, even God, could really love us unconditionally and fully, especially God, if she can truly see into our hearts and souls for who we really are. We want to believe in transformation, in resurrection, but our insecurity and doubt eat at us. And yet the fact is that we've all likely had transformative events in our lives. Those moments when we know that things have shifted and they will never be the same again. Like falling in love or losing someone. Or finding the exact thing we are meant to do in this world. Or experiencing the holy in the midst of our mundane lives. And yet, don't we often find ourselves returning to previous ways of being, even after experiencing such transformation? Whether it's because the first blush wears off and we resume ways of being that are just comfortable, or we take for granted the change that we experienced and we simply stop paying attention and unconsciously let the power of our transformation slip away from us. Because there is a piece of us, sometimes small, sometimes bigger, that doesn't believe that we can be forgiven, that doesn't believe that we are loved, that doesn't believe that we can truly be transformed. If there is anything that the life of Jesus taught, and that these resurrection stories, I believe, bear out, it is that Jesus knew that while the disciples did get what he had told and shown them while he was alive, their insecurities and self-doubts would always find a way to guide their lives away from his call. They, like we, experienced transformation, what some might call even conversion. But the truth is that transformation isn't an event or a thing. It is at its heart an ongoing action, something we have to choose to live into continually in spite of the things that would stop us. And so to counter these insecurities and doubts, I think Jesus appeared to his friends and by extension to us and offered extravagant resurrection gifts: the Spirit of God, the reconciling love of God, abundance, and the choice to live resurrection lives. And so in our story from John today, we find the disciples back where they started, fishing. Now, Jesus had already appeared to them in the locked room, and he had breathed on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." He effectively commissioned them to get back out there, out of the locked room, and to do the work that he had called them to do. And yet Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing." And the others responded, "We'll go with you." So Jesus appeared to them again, realizing that it wasn't yet enough to offer them only peace and giving them the Spirit. They needed something more, especially Peter. And so he met them where they were, loving them as always. Echoing earlier stories of fishing, there was a miraculous catch and at the direction of Jesus. And impetuous as always, once they recognized the one on the beach as Jesus, Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore in his eagerness and in his love. And once they were all gathered, Jesus offered them a simple meal from the abundance of their catch, reminiscent of other meals he had shared with them, even the last one. Again, he was teaching them the rule of abundance when they follow his lead, and the essentiality of community and sharing meals and breaking bread together. But the biggest lesson and gift that Jesus brought to this meeting was to be given especially to Peter, offering him something that he needed in order to become the rock of faith for the community that was to emerge, the piece that would finally make Peter live into his transformation and offer it freely to others, the gift of reconciliation. Three times Peter denied Jesus after he was arrested. Three times he turned his back on God's love and the call to live transformation through the example that Jesus had set for him during his life. And so Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And again he replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And though he felt hurt for being asked again, he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." And just like that, Peter turned back to Jesus three times, just as he had turned away, repenting, returning to face God again. Reconciliation, being embraced by the unconditional love of God when we repent and being called to live resurrection life. Jesus' response to Peter after every declaration of love was to remind him, to command him to do what he was called to do, to take care of the flock, to lead them, to teach them, to heal them, to offer them transforming lives as well. And then he said those words that had started it all to begin with, "Follow me." And this time, Peter and the others did. They did not go back to fishing again. They went out and followed the path of justice, compassion, and reconciliation that Jesus had shown them, living their transformation and transforming the world in the process. The same possibility exists for each of us. The same gifts have been offered each of us. The same call, "Follow me," has been given to each of us. We, like the disciples, must battle our own insecurity and our self-doubt, our tendency to slip back into old patterns instead of living forward into resurrection life. We need to come together as a community often and to draw the strength needed to be able to do this, because we simply can't do it alone. We must always celebrate the abundance that is within us and surrounds us when we follow Jesus' call. And even though it is unbelievable, we have to try and believe that God loves us enough to not leave us alone, to always meet us where we are, and to remind us who and whose we are. And we need to believe that we are indeed forgiven. The little mistakes that happen every day, and the enormous ones that mark the chapters of our lives. Because frankly, if Peter can be forgiven for turning his back on Jesus as he was tried and put to death, isn't God's mercy big enough? Isn't God's love big enough for us too? Like the disciples, we have a choice to respond to follow me. We can accept the Easter gifts of breakfast fish abundance and reconciling love, which equip us to leave the nets of past mistakes and unfulfilled ways of being behind and live resurrection lives, lives that are open to the Spirit, lives that model the example that Jesus set for us, lives that show forth God's love into the whole world. And so I say to you, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.